This is Bryce Gunner, and you're listening to Bobcat Radio 89.9 KTSW.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Bobcat Radio, the Friday edition, the best edition, as always, simply because it is us here. Special guest going on right now. We just got done talking about some Rangers news, and we are going to continue talking about the Rangers news as we have a special guest once again. Scott Lucas of the Newberg Report joins us right now. Our buddy Caleb has been talking to him a little bit, and maybe we can pick his brain here for just a little bit. Scott, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
So we just got done obviously talking about big news in the Rangers organization, a new hire here, Jeff Banister, as the managers. Are reverberations already going through the organization as far as Texas all the way down to Round Rock?
Wait, I'm sorry. I lost you for just a second. Can you repeat that?
With the new hire of Jeff Banister, are the reverberations of a hire like that, as big as it is, not only obviously it affects the Rangers organization, but does that trickle down to the Round Rock Express as well?
Sure, I think it does, particularly for one of the reasons they hired him. They really were looking for a guy who was going to be invested in the whole system as opposed to the 25 guys in the clubhouse. I think he's somebody who's going to be a lot more proactive and interactive with guys at the upper levels and perhaps even the lower levels of the system. There was talk about in Pittsburgh of having more direct interaction with scouts while they were in town and things like that. So perhaps not right off the bat, but certainly in the long run, yes, he's going to be a name that the minor league guys are going to have to get to know.
By the way, Scott, this is Caleb Ryan here, and I apologize if we're making you miss the Jeff Banister, interview, the press conference, but I'm sure that you can catch back up on that here in a little bit. So thanks for coming on here. But I guess one of the questions that I had that we kind of already hit on was that specifically with the DFW media guys, Tim Boger was the guy that kind of everyone thought was going to be the Rangers manager coming into 2015. Did you see any indication that Jeff Banister kind of was the favorite coming into this new hire?
Coming into it, definitely not. Like you, I thought it was going to be Bogar, given that it looked to everybody that he had done a good job so far, particularly in those trying circumstances. The only thing I could say is over the years I've come to trust the decisions of upper management pretty well. And so given that Bogar, what he'd already done and the impact he'd already made, Banister must have given a heck of an interview. And actually, Kevin Cash, who was one of the final guys, he did really well, too. And I've heard rumors that he might actually be on the staff in some regard. So I think ultimately the Rangers just saw this as an opportunity to do kind of a system-wide reboot and not necessarily put too much emphasis on what Bogar did under those short circumstances. And they decided that in the long run that Banister was going to be their guy.
So, Rangers fans last season, obviously they suffered through, I won't say a horrible season, but it wasn't quite what they were expecting. Obviously a little rough on the pitching. Injuries were a big deal as well. As Banister comes in, do you think the main problem on this team is the pitching that he has to address first? Or is it just a team-wide, maybe looking for a replacement for Rios as well? First base could still need to be shored up. But does pitching need to be his first priority when he joins the team?
Well, I mean, first of all, yes, you can definitely say it was a horrible season. It was a historically horrible season. I've never been through anything like that. But to an extent, I got pitching is the bigger deal. I really do think they need to either trade for or acquire through free agency. No worse than a number three starter, because coming back next year, you'll have Darvish and Holland and presumably Nick Tepish, maybe Colby Lewis comes back. And after that, you've got, I mean, there's some talent there, but there's nobody on the immediate horizon who fills like a number three role. So if the Rangers' goal, and I assume it is, if the Rangers' goal is to compete for the postseason again, then that's a role that they're going to need to fill. But really, it's the same way on the hitting side. They understandably did not renew Alex Rios' contract. And so right now, one of the outfield positions, you've got some sort of hybrid of Ryan Rua and Daniel Roberson. And they both did well, but I don't really know if you want to go into the season thinking, those are going to be your guys. So, and it's also a question of how healthy Jerickson Profar is going to be. Do you want to tender an offer to, do you want to go to arbitration with Mitch Moreland? There's questions really everywhere that need to be answered.
You mentioned Alex Rios. Obviously, he was let go with that inflated $14 million salary. Just watching him over the season, was there something that you saw that stood out that really limited his production? I mean, his batting average is up there. We see that, but the power just wasn't there anymore. Was there anything in particular that you saw that may have just affected his game moving down here with the Rangers?
Not really anything particular other than I know in the past he'd had, I want to say one of his years with the White Sox was really terrible, and there was what year was it? Yeah, okay, I'm just looking it up now. 2011, he was even much worse than this year, and I think there was talk about just letting him go. He's always been kind of an up-and-down guy. He had his moments this year, but just, you know, it's as hard as it is to acquire power at this point. Well, he didn't really show any power, and just for $14 million, hopefully they can spend that money better elsewhere.
Right, right. All right, so one of the things that I love that you guys do with the Newberg Report is that, for those people that don't know, is that you guys get the chance to kind of break down the lives, the baseball lives at least, and the stats and the production of these younger guys down at the lower levels. And I know you specifically get to see a lot of the guys that are up in Round Rock. But in my opinion, a lot of those guys that should have been at Round Rock were up at the major league level. So I guess if you could pick one guy that had the highest grade this year in production, who would it be for you?
In Round Rock, you mean?
Yes, sir.
Like who did not make the majors?
Yes.
You're talking about a guy who has not come up yet. That's a kind of a tough question to answer just because they called up so many players. I mean, for the most part, the young guys who are going to be making hopefully an impact next year, we've already seen some of those guys in the major leagues to an extent. One guy, and it's a tough call, but probably the offensive player who had the most impact who didn't make the majors was a center fielder named Jared Hoying. He's been around a while. He actually got passed over in the Rule 5 draft last year. And to be honest, I'm not sure if they're going to add him this year. It's kind of a tough call given all the other decisions they have to make. But he's a guy who, hit 25 homers and stole 20 bases. He's got good center field defense. He's a guy who I think he will make the majors at some point. I'm not sure if it'll be with Texas or somebody else. On the pitching side, once again, there were so many guys that got called up. The best prospect who finished the season there was Luke Jackson, who was a former first-round supplemental pick. But his problem, once he got up to Round Rock, he kind of got mechanically out of whack and actually looked really terrible. He'll be an unquestionable 40-man addition, but he's not a guy who's going to be ready for the major leagues next April. He's more like somebody who might come up ideally in a perfect world next summer, but maybe next September.
All right. Scott Lucas here joining us from the Newberg Report. We're talking Rangers baseball. We're talking Express baseball. And kind of playing off that question, again, we saw so many people come up from Round Rock to just basically because they had to with so many injuries that were happening. Is there one player that, or maybe a couple players, we saw production from Odor and a few of those guys, but is there one player that was brought up that maybe might get the chance to hang around even though he didn't quite produce as well as he should have last season?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Odor, technically, just purely looking at him on a statistical basis, Odor did not have a good year, but given his age, it's really nothing to complain about. Somebody in the long run, Tomas Tellez, who they brought up late, could possibly turn into a decent backup catcher. He had his ups and downs, but he's got good stuff. A reliever named Roman Mendez. I want to say he had a good ERA, but he actually walked a ton of guys, but he's got good stuff. He could be back in, I take that back. He's going to be out of options. So, they've got to figure out what to do with him. So those would be the main guys I could think of. You know, they had a whole bunch of relievers they brought up late, and some did pretty well, and some were kind of spotty. But the good news is next year they've got a whole bunch of guys they can choose from, and basically whoever's hot in the spring they can use them. And if the guys they send down end up doing better, they can switch them out without much difficulty.
Hey Scott, this is Dean. Thanks for being on the show. But
sure.
So Bannister, he spent 29 years as the bench coach for the Pirates, and obviously they had many opportunities to bring him up. Why don't you think he got a job in Pittsburgh before this?
You know what? I honestly have no idea. Sorry, that's not much of an answer, but he's a guy who I'm kind of learning about him just like y'all are. I don't know. He's one of the, you know, Ron Washington kind of had the same thing. He was talked about all the time and had some interviews, but never got the chance. I honestly don't know. Hopefully that's something we'll find out in the future, but it's a weird thing. I mean, sometimes you might hear complaints about, well, gee, the Rangers should have gotten somebody with, you know, managerial experience, but this is a guy who's been around baseball. He's 49 years old and he's been around baseball his entire life, so I think he's got all the experience you could want.
So what do you think he brings to the table that Ron Washington didn't necessarily?
Well, I think part of what I was talking about earlier where, I mean, Washington wasn't really that invested in the minor league system, and I don't know if that's really a criticism or not. I mean, ultimately, you've got to be worried about the 25 guys in your clubhouse. But I think Bannister is going to be a little bit more invested in the long run of being able to look at guys, talk to scouts more, and have a better idea of the guys coming up, of what they might be able to contribute. That would be my guess. As far as tactically, I honestly don't know. Washington tended to manage by the gut. My understanding is that Bannister is a little more invested on the analytical and sabermetric side, but to the extent that's going to inform his decisions, I think we're just going to have to wait and see.
All right, Scott, last question, at least for me, and last question overall, I guess. But I know that you get this question all the time, and you're probably tired of it, and he's in Frisco, but we've got to ask it. When do we see Joey Gallo up in Arlington?
My guess would be you don't see him next year. Could have a late impact. You know, no, I'm not tired about him. You know, he's the best prospect in the system, best power hitting prospect in baseball. There was all that talk earlier in the year, especially around the Futures game when he put on the display, and given how the Rangers were doing, there were people saying, yes, go ahead and call him up. And in fact, Jim Bowden of ESPN was saying, call him up while he was still in Myrtle Beach, which is the level below Frisco. And I just thought that was crazy. He's just not ready. As good as he was doing, he swings through a ton of pitches. His swinging strike, he swung and missed, more than one every five pitches in Double A. And that's just something that, nobody in the major leagues is even close to that. He's gotten better at covering the plate. He used to be able to hit pitches just at one part of the zone, and he's been able to expand it. And he's gotten a little better at laying off pitches, but he still swings through a ton of them. Defensively, he's gotten better. But he's the kind of guy who, if you bring him up, he might hit 30 home runs, but he's going to strike out 250 times. And, I mean, really, he could strike out 250 times in the whole season if you're talking about now. So he's going to start next year in Frisco. Hopefully he'll move up to Round Rock at some point, and then September maybe you make a decision. But I really don't think the Rangers are in any need to rush him, especially if he's going to stay at third base because you've got Adrian Beltre right now.
Once again, Scott Lucas joining us from the Newberg Report. Thanks for coming on the show. Definitely a lot of good information there for our listeners, and maybe we can possibly have you back on when the season gets fired up again and we see just how Bannister is managing this team. Scott, thanks for joining us. If you want to follow him on Twitter, get on out there. Scott R. Lucas at Twitter is your handle, correct?
Yes, that's right.
So all the good Round Rock Express news is right up the road, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to go check it out. But once again, Scott, thanks for joining us here on Bobcat Radio.
You bet. Anytime.
All right, again, and once again, that was Scott Lucas of the Newberg Report. I want to thank him for joining the show. A lot of excellent information on the Round Rock Express and the Texas Rangers just in general.
Yeah, my favorite thing was I had actually never heard the statement that Ron Washington wasn't much of a minor league guy. I don't think he didn't mean that as criticism and stuff, but that's something that I've never heard. That's really interesting to me. So that was my favorite part of the interview.
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily his job to be like a minor league guy. Like he said, at the end of the day, you got to be worried about the 25 guys in the clubhouse and like worried about what they're doing each day. And that's like the manager at the minor league's job is to worry about them and tell you what's going on with them.
Yeah, I agree. But hey, it's always good to get that fresh set of eyes on there. And just again, this we talked about earlier in many early shows about Ron Washington's old eyes, he'd been with the organization. Time to get a new fresh set of eyes. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm already losing it. We've got 13 minutes of show left. I've got to get back on track.
What moves do you think they'll make, like, in the offseason, like, pitching-wise?
I think Scott was right. They need to bring in – they've got to get in at least one free agent pitcher, a number three, maybe even a number two if they could find him and move Holland down to three. That'd
anybody,
be great.
Anybody in particular?
No.
Off the top of my head, I don't know, you know, free agent pitchers. I mean, big guys like Matt Scherzer and stuff like that. But, I mean, it's just not – we'll discuss a little more when the free agents when it starts heating up. But we do want to jump into some NFL talk. Obviously, that's going on this weekend. Big matchups for the Cowboys. And hey, I'm going to give the Cowboys a little bit of love on this show. 30-23 win over the Seahawks last week, and that was you beat the defending Super Bowl champs. It was great. It was a tough, hard victory, though. They had to get in there. They had to get down and dirty. Call it a slugfest. Call it a tough, hard victory, whatever you want. But they won that type of game. They stood up there. Murray kept on rolling 115 yards. He was catching the ball out of the backfield. So, good.
Did he have any fumbles this week?
He did not have any fumbles this week. Duh. I wish I had, like, the sound effect.
So
like,
he's only
going to
have, like, 15 on the season instead of 16.
Yeah, no worries on that one. Still going to – I think he's on pace for 424 carries or something like that.
Some ridiculous
there's
amount.
There's no way you can carry the ball that many times. But the Cowboys this week are playing the Giants. The Giants, of course, coming off that 27-0 ugly UGLY loss to the Eagles. Of course, they have no Rashad Jennings, no Victor Cruz. They got a banged-up secondary. And, hey, Rome was usually pretty good against against the Giants, correct?
Yeah.
The answer is yes. I looked it up.
Yeah.
Just shake your head and not...
They can't see me. Shake my head, man.
That's true. So here is... we're looking at this here. My first thought on this is if the Cowboys play like they did last week, there's just no chance the Giants are going to get steamrolled again. I don't think they're going to get shut out. I guess the first thought I want to throw out there is if these carries that Murray's having, you know, he's doing very, very well. He's the best running back in the league right now, hands down, no doubt about it. He's doing his thing, but you can't keep giving him all these carries and expect him to hold up all season. It's just I don't care who you are, even if you're not DeMarco Murray, who has a history of injuries. I wouldn't give the ball to, you know, Eddie Lacy or Marshawn Lynch 424 times a year. That's way too much. So, I guess my thing is if the Cowboys are able to jump on the Giants pretty early like the Eagles did, do you get a chance to rest Murray at all? Like if you go up by 14, 17, 21 points or something like that, can you bring in Lance Dunbar, who we'll talk about in just a little bit? That's happening. Joseph Randall.
Either one, really. Randall or Dunbar. Well, I don't think you lose too much with either of those guys, really.
Well, you can't really bring in Randall anymore.
Oh, he's playing?
Yeah, you can, yeah.
We're going to talk about that one. We're actually up on a break when we come back. Obviously, we're going to have a speed 10 minutes. We promise we will pack all the stuff into this show when we come back. But first, got to tell you a little something about it's called BPS, I think is what it's called, right?
BPS, is that the...
I don't know, I'm just making it up.
Oh, okay, all right.
Tell them what it really is.
All right, guys, well, we got a syndicated show called Big Picture Science. It's going to be Thursdays at 7 a.m. right here on KTSW and on KTSW.net. It's going to discuss scientific and technological development, innovation, and scientific theory, and then asks the philosophical questions about the physiological aspect of life, guys. So check it out whenever you get a chance. Go over to KTSW.net and look under the programming tab, and then it's going to include a list of all our shows, including Big Picture Science.
All right, guys, keep it right here on Bobcat Radio and KTSW as we come back for the final segment in just a minute.